Day evening lineup starting Thursday, September 5th. The Progressive Forum, People of Earth, and So What's Your Story? And stay tuned for The Inner Side at 10:30 p.m. This is KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT, Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Technology Bites.
All right, welcome to the show. This is Technology Bites. I am Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
Because it was going so well, Dwight had it.
I'm Dwight.
What?
And
he's saving us from Dwight.
Groovehouse.
Saving us from Dwight. Wow, we had an opportunity to have a flawless intro, and Dwight said, "No way, pal. No."
Yeah, well.
All right, well, welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in. It's, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I just want to go to bed. I'm looking at your glasses. Never mind. It was a weird glare in your glasses. It looked like you had an extra lens inside of your glasses.
I do not.
You do not. I do not. No. I didn't think you did.
That'd you haven't heard of Google Glass? It's only half full, though.
Yeah. Okay, I can tell Dwight's in a mood. So we'll see how this goes tonight.
Yeah.
He's playful and hateful and kind of mean.
He's gearing up to replace you. This is going to be awesome.
That's right.
Come on, Dwight, get mean.
You know, it's kind of throbbing up.
Yeah? Dwight is the Jay Lee 2.0.
I'm not mean.
No, you're not mean. No, you're super, super nice and swell. All right, yeah, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, but that's another story later. All right, so visit us online at geekradio.com. You can check out the website and learn all about the show and download podcasts and see the advertisement for the upcoming Geek Gathering this Friday, which Dwight is going to be the master of ceremonies for this time.
Oh, well. I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to it. I love the Geek Gathering. I love
it. It's going
to
be the hottest Geek Gathering on record.
Literally.
Yeah.
What's the temperature supposed to be on Friday?
I didn't check the weather. I didn't check the United States weather for Friday.
Hold on.
All right.
Okay, Google now. What will the weather be like on Friday in Houston? Let's see if it tells me.
Friday's forecast for Houston is 93 degrees with a chance of storm. A chance of storm.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, the Facebook invite could have told me that, too. All right, so, we have a Geek Gathering coming up Friday. You can go to the website and learn about that. And who knows will be there. I know Dwight will be there. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I should be there.
Barrett will be there. Afflicted may or may not be there. Groovehouse is typical, maybe. Are you coming into town, Pete?
Possibly. I would put it on low likelihood, especially if there's chance of storm.
Chance of storm.
Well, the chance of storm, I think, is like 10 to 20%.
30%, says weather.com.
Yeah, but storm is different than rain. Chance of storm. Chance of storm sounds...
What's going to happen?
That, by the way, was brought to you by the Moto X, which is the new smartphone from Motorola post Google acquisition.
Would have been better if it said, "Chance of storm, make your time."
Or you might switch over this phone.
Huh?
Yeah.
You might switch over this phone.
I really like it. Well, of course, I have a year to do anything because.
So a lot of iPhones could come out in a year.
Right. It will. Yes, actually, there could be a lot of iPhones that come out.
That's just going to be.
So, yeah, there's an announcement next week, and it's expected to be two at least, the 5S and the 5C, if the rumorage is correct. But then next year, which is when I'll be eligible, is the 6, or whatever they're going to end up calling it. So, we'll see.
The iPhone watch.
Right.
So you haven't signed up for Trap or Ripoff or whatever the programs are where you give them a ton of money.
I think you have to be finished up with your contract in order to do that. I don't think you can jump to it in the middle of a contract. But I also want to switch to T-Mobile, I think.
Really?
Because of
you're
going to
walk away from that beautiful unlimited plan you have?
Damn, unlimited.
Yeah, but is their coverage nearly as good?
Not at the moment.
Like they could tell you.
But they're still building out their LTE.
I'm also not on LTE yet.
Yeah.
I have a 4S. So
yeah. Okay. So by next year their LTE network will be a lot better, and so I'll be I'll take that into consideration.
I'm helping give them money to pave the way for
He's building the infrastructure with his dollars. All right, so if you want to be on the air with us, we will be taking calls later on in the show. So 713-526-5738. You can also hang out on IRC. We are on irc.cuckoo.com in the channel Tech Bytes. And you can either use your own IRC client or you can go to the website and use our IRC client. Is your MacBook Air still blanking on you?
Yeah, it's a review unit, and it's not... I may switch to my good old standby, my MacBook Pro, but there we go. It's awake.
What's it do? Is it doing the... Is it the bug where it goes to the login screen randomly, or is it a different one?
No, it's like it goes to sleep, and I can't wake it up unless I, like, do specific... I have to do, like, the Nintendo cheat codes on it to make it...
Konami code to get it to wake up.
Right, exactly.
Out.
Yeah, it's not sounding good. I mean, that's... Unlike my relatively so far, knock on wood, flawless experience. All right, so 713-526-5738 if you want to go ahead and get in the queue to be on the air. We're going to now test our luck and see if we can go to San Antonio for the Technology Bytes InfoShot live via Skype. Take it away, InfoShot.
It's the Technology Bytes InfoShot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, I will say, you know, so we'll go for the full out. I'll say that the specs on the Skype call seem to be good, and so here goes nothing. There's not lots of news because I didn't want to prepare a big news thing and then have it be like last week. As Dwight mentioned, after weeks of speculation, although come on, this was not in the rumory category. People knew September 10th was the announcement date. That was pretty certain. It wasn't like maybe or anything. But now the real invitations have gone out. And usually there's sort of an oblique clue to what they're going to do on the invitations. And this one, the invitation on the front says, this should brighten everyone's day. And it has a lot of different colors, little circles with different colors. And so that should be some kind of hint to the rumors about colorful new iPhones. Basically, it's all but certain that the company will be launching at least one new iPhone and the much-anticipated redesigned iOS 7. Like I said, the invites normally include subtle or not-so-subtle hints about what's coming, and the multicolored dots could be a hint of the much-rumored colorful low-cost iPhone, not cheap, but lower cost, that will supposedly launch alongside the new flagship. Current consensus, as far as that goes, points to a faster iPhone 5S with a new A7 chip and a fingerprint sensor but it looks outwardly similar to the iPhone 5, and then the more open thing is the iPhone 5C that puts iPhone 5-like guts into a new brightly colored plastic shell. So-called 5C will supposedly be offered as Apple's low-end iPhone, replacing the current strategy of offering the previous flagship phone. So in other words, the usual deal was, like when the 4S came out, then the 4 became the discounted phone. And so instead of the 5 becoming the discounted phone, the rumor is there will be a new phone that's the low-end that would, you know, give the lower price and so on. So presumably the iPhone 5 then would just be over, be done. Of course, none of this is true until Apple says it is, but most of the speculation is certainly within the realm of plausibility. The bright flat colors on the invitation are also reminiscent of those that Apple is using on iOS 7. So there's kind of a double thing. Naturally, folks are waiting with bated breath for new iPhones, but there's a long list of other things that could be announced to the masses. You know, although the latest rumoring stuff I've heard is, of course, that there's not iPad announcements and stuff coming. We are due, though, for new iPads and Retina MacBook Pros, and there's also the possibility of a release date for OS X 10.9. That's the one codenamed Mavericks, as well. And there's also people are waiting for a more specific launch date for the Mac Pro, which last anyone heard was launching on some non-specific date in the fall. There is like a trailer on YouTube if you want to see it some more and look at all the goodness that none of us will be able to afford. Apple could announce any or all of these things, but it may also let the iPhone and iOS 7 take center stage for now. Last year, the company held a separate event in October to launch the new iPads and a handful of new Macs, and that could happen again. This will start at 10 a.m. Pacific time on September 10th. The usual suspects we'll be live blogging it. I guess after the news we can find out if Dwight is going to partake in the live blogging or if that'll all be the San Francisco people. Here's one somebody's stealing a march. Samsung have revealed their smartwatch. I mean, there's been all kinds of talk about smartwatches, but not a lot of major tech companies releasing their products till now. The Galaxy Gear smartwatch was released at IFA in Berlin. The new wearable device will be available in 149 countries on the 25th of September and worldwide for all the other countries in October. It's stainless steel. This is a UK site, so they say it'll cost around £200, which often, even though the exchange rate doesn't do that, often the price in the U.S. is the same in dollars as it ends up being in pounds. It says it's got a 1.63 AMOLED display with 320 by 320 resolution, 25-hour battery life, built-in gyroscope and accelerometer, ships with Android 4.3, will only work with other Samsung products with 4.3, The strap is packed with, quote, technologies of the next decade. 16 colors available. Swipe screen to switch functions. Tap it to select. So no more of those crappy watch buttons that you can't hardly push. You know, even a strong man can't get enough pressure on them to make the stupid set button work. Smart relay syncs that syncs what you are viewing to, on the watch with your phone. I'm sure this means with your Samsung phone. You can answer calls by raising your hand to your ear. A mic and speakers are built into the watch. S-Voice, which is where you speak commands to make calls, a thing called Memographer, a 1.9 megapixel camera to capture, quote, visual memos, and there are about 70 apps that Gear will run when it launches. So it'll be interesting to see, basically, as these products come out and as they kind of each compare with each other and add more features and so on, it should keep the wearable sphere interesting at the very least. So in other news, and this one's an interesting looking one, a company called Rimac has an electric bike called the Concept One. It looks kind of like a motorcycle with pedals, and not like a, you know, 1922 Harley, but like it's got a body to it and pedals. The cool thing is they've unveiled their latest product. It's called the Gray P G12 electric bike. It can do 40 miles an hour unassisted with a pedal-free range of 75 miles with an alleged charge time of 80 minutes from zero. You know, so a full charge in 80 minutes. The G12 could be a winner with city dwellers looking to get out about town. Other neat tricks in it is it's got a fingerprint-activated ignition that allows different digits to trigger the bike's two modes, street or speed, with profiles for up to 50 users available. There's no official word on price or availability. It's closer to 10,000 than it is to 5,000, I think would be the way to put it. But electric bikes and such are certainly an area where there could be some interesting developments, and as there are more, then the prices should come down, and hopefully range and other stuff will go up. And finally, this one's cool. A storage app. This is for iOS, a storage app that also happens to work as a Super Nintendo emulator, has managed to slip by Apple's reviewers and shot to the top of all paid applications. The 99-cent app called Remote File Manager can link up to both FTP and Dropbox accounts and open numerous file types. And coincidentally, some of the types include ROM files for Super Nintendo games, which open up in an emulator with on-screen touch controls. It's unclear exactly when the feature was added to the software, which has been on the App Store since last November. It's only received two updates since then, the most recent of which was in July. None of this seemed to concern shoppers on the App Store, which have made it the top paid app and the 26th highest grossing. Apple is expected to pull it down. It was spotted by Touch Arcade today. It has done that with just about every other piece of software that slipped an emulator past. But it may be there now, and you may be able to grab it if you're interested in such things. And that's the news.
All right, going to the App Store. What's the name of the app, Peter?
It's called Remote File Manager.
I'm on it.
If you look, apparently it's the top selling app, so I would guess it's number one. 99 cents.
Oh wow. It's called again, what's it called?
There it is.
Remote File Manager.
Got it.
You link it up to FTP and Dropbox accounts and it can open different file types, and if one of those is ROM files for Super Nintendo, then that will work too.
All right. Are you buying it, Dwight?
Are you kidding? You bet.
Mr. White? I was getting a call. Is that Peter flicked it?
Are we getting a call? Or there was... Pete, is that you?
Not me.
Somebody got it. The NSA. So Remote File Manager is like an FTP client, but also has an emulator in it, huh?
Yeah, apparently it like recognizes the file type for Super Nintendo games.
You know, it's weird. I have no problem spending like, you know, $3 on a cup of coffee, but when they want me to pay 99 cents for an app on the iPhone, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They'll probably issue a patch that fixes this.
So Amazon did this interesting thing this week where they said if you buy a hardcover book, you can now get the ebook version for a steep discount. In some cases, as little as 99 cents.
Do you have to buy the hard copy from them?
Yes, from Amazon, and they'll go back as far as when Amazon launched in 1995.
Wow! So they have a record of all your
yes, they have a record of everything you've ever bought.
On certain titles so far, though, it's not everything yet.
Right, and it starts in October.
Switches to the Mac,
huh?
Switches to the Mac.
That's right. I have both. So, but what's interesting is,
hang on there, Lewis.
That I would love for it to go like the other way, where if you bought an ebook, you could get the paper book. Because, like, my wife will get a book on her Kindle and she'll read it and go, that's really good, you would like that. But it's on her Kindle, not mine. We have separate accounts. And so it's not one of those that you can lend to somebody. There's some you can lend. So I'd love to, like, be able to get another copy so I could read
it. I'm mad at Amazon right now because I signed up for their Prime service. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the video offerings are okay. They're not great.
That's not why you get it.
No, I know. Whoa, hello. You okay?
One of the cats was on the desk and I guess made a bed.
Cats and dogs now.
Cats and dogs.
Living together. So I was really interested in the lending library that they have, but it only works if you have a Kindle. It will not work if you have the Kindle app.
Well, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know why they make that distinction, but they do. All right, well, we got a call in the queue. So we're going to take that. But if you want to be on the air with us tonight, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT to be on the air with us. We got a call in the queue, like I said, and Groovehouse is going to bring that call on the air. Who do we have, Groovehouse?
Up first on the show, we are going to speak with Lewis.
Lewis, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
I have a problem with my internet browser.
Okay.
Whenever I open up Google, it says Google cannot connect to the proxy server, and it even has the URL and the picture and everything from the URL code, but the website won't load. It just says Google Chrome cannot connect to the proxy, and what's strange is I can use the website Facebook, and that's it.
All right, well, it sounds like you might have gotten a proxy activated inside of Google Chrome. So the first thing that I would do is check that setting in Google Chrome. So, you know, in the Chrome menu up in the upper right-hand corner, you have those three barred lines where you can access the settings for Chrome.
Yeah.
If you click on that and then go down to settings.
Mm-hmm.
And then click on Show Advanced Settings.
Mm-hmm.
There's a network section, and you can click on there's a section called Change Proxy Settings. If you click on that and then go to LAN Settings, you want to make sure that none of the proxy options are enabled.
Yeah, but I tried that, but I couldn't configure that, and Auto Configure was on.
Yeah, uncheck Auto Configure.
I don't know where that is.
Well, if you go into those settings, let me take a look. If I go in there on my version of Chrome here and see.
Lewis, are you on Windows? Or are you on OS 10?
Windows 7 Ultimate pre-release.
All right, I'm still trying to, let's see. So set Show Advanced Settings.
OS 10 may be a little bit different because I was in there poking around earlier.
Well, there's Show Advanced Settings is down at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. And then you go to
Network.
And
then you go down to Network. Where do you see that?
Down, about halfway down, Web Content Network. The issue is on OS 10, it shells out to...
Okay, so you'll see, if you look on there, you'll see that for proxies, go ahead and bring it back up. We just had it. If you click on Change Proxy Settings, it's got a number of different options. You just want to make sure they're all unchecked.
This is for OS 10, though, is the issue. Yeah, you're right, though.
But they were all checked.
They were all checked?
Yeah.
You want to uncheck them all.
But I can't find Auto Configure.
What do you mean?
It says Auto Configure, and you can't click on anything.
But you can uncheck Auto Configure because you don't want it to auto configure.
But I can't find Auto Configure.
Well, just uncheck everything that's in there and then restart Chrome and see what happens.
But I can't check anything or uncheck anything.
Oh, are they grayed out?
Yeah.
All right. So it's possible then that because all of this stuff is checked that you might have a Trojan or some kind of spyware on your system that's locked this down from your access.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of antivirus programs do you have on your computer?
Avast and Avira.
All right. I would recommend that you start with a program. There's a free version of a program called Malware Bytes.
Yes, my friend that's really tech savvy uses that.
Okay, yeah. Well, you can download it from malwarebytes.org and try scanning your system. But you might have a rootkit or a Trojan that's, you know, trying to redirect your web traffic. It's failing, but it's still interfering with your internet access. So I would definitely scan your system using that to start with.
Well, because I can't go on the internet, I can't download anything.
Is this the only computer that you have?
Yes.
Really? There's not another computer in your house?
My dad's a laptop and my mom has a Mac Mini.
All right. Well, what about this computer? Does it have Internet Explorer on it?
No, I deleted that because I really, really didn't like it. And I went to disinstall, went to program files, times A6, deleted the fog, Internet Explorer, and deleted everything to make sure it's off my system.
Well, that's unfortunate because this would be a good situation to have a backup browser. But you can download the Malware Bytes program onto a thumb drive or a flash drive or burn it to a CD or a DVD on one of the other computers and then bring it over to your computer and install it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Good luck. Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, he's in there uninstalling Internet Explorer at a young age.
At a young age, he's right on top of getting rid of Internet Explorer. You know, I will say that there's a medium ground between, you know, if you don't like Internet Explorer, I'm all for that, but there's no reason to remove it from.
Yeah, not using it and not, you know, uninstalling it are two different things. Like, it's nice to have a backup one.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, I would have thought with Chrome, it's like, all right, he's still got another browser. We can try that. But
you must have a parent that runs Linux. That sounded like some Linux hate. You know, kind of like I uninstalled Internet Explorer because my dad said it was evil.
I'm sure his tech-savvy friend who uses Malware Bytes probably told him to do it.
Go to his tech-savvy friend. And
go to your tech-savvy friend and
have him download the program for you.
He's
burn
savvy
it
enough to call us.
Oh, yeah.
He's up past his bedtime. I know I am. 713-526-5738. It's just now getting to be close to 8:30, so we got plenty of time
Jay's
left.
He's starting to yawn a little bit.
I'm a little tired.
Stretching.
No, I mean it's I get so stressed before travel.
Oh, sure.
Definitely. I mean I've packed and unpacked and repacked a few times, but stress makes me tired, so I go to bed early. And then when I go to bed early, I get up early.
Are you doing the thing where you like bring just one pair of underwear and wash it and then set it on fire at the end of the trip? Are you doing that? Kind of?
I didn't know that was a thing. Tell me more.
Super light. That's white travels.
Ultra light.
A trail of flaming underwear all over Europe.
No, the first time we went across Europe, we came up with the idea of taking the underwear that probably shouldn't be owned anymore
and using that, right?
Using that and discarding it along the way. Right. So I'm an eco-terrorist at the Vatican because I slipped over the border into Vatican City from Rome and deposited what was left of my unmentionables into a dumpster on a little dark road.
You'll burn in hell.
Yeah, you want to know what made the Pope quit?
This other guy better do it. Yeah.
You don't pay me enough for this, said Pope Benedict. All right, 713-526-5738. Now, I'm hoping that we're doing a driving tour of Ireland, and I'm only taking enough clothes to get through a week, and we're going to be there for 2 weeks. So you do the math. We're hoping that through the beds and breakfasts, we'll probably have opportunities to get some laundry done or do some laundry. Or I'll just shear a sheep.
Make your own clothes.
I'll make my own adults.
Glue the fur back on you.
Or shop on scenic clotheslines where people's stuff's drying.
That's true. I'll zip along on a little windy Irish road and snatch some fresh undies right off of the clothesline that are airing out in the Irish breeze. Irish spring.
Irish breeze.
Always have to be Lucky Charm pants. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us. All of our lines are open. I want that kid to call back next week or in a couple of weeks and let us know how that went with this Chrome issue. But, you know, you can also get the installer for Internet Explorer and reinstall it on your computer if you can get
what about
or Firefox, you know, something.
Firefox,
just a backup browser.
Yeah, or Firefox. That's a good idea, to get the Firefox installer so you have at least a backup browser. So you got that going for you. Is that a holiday or anything, is it?
For you?
No, I mean, like, oh, it is.
Well, that was last weekend.
Came off of the, it's been a short week, too.
It's a short week. Plus tonight, I think, is the last episode of Futurama, isn't it?
Is it?
Now we get our geek audience.
Yeah.
Yet another final episode of Futurama. Excellent.
Are they doing something special for, are they going to wrap it up, or is it going to, I haven't watched Futurama in a while. I love that show.
It'll be on Netflix. You can catch it on Netflix.
They're going to wake up, and it was all a dream, and the kid's just looking into the snow globe.
Rosebud.
It turns out it was just an extended Simpsons couch intro.
Oh, that'd be cool.
713-526-5738 is the number.
What about
to call
this new phone Dwight has? Why is it such a big deal?
Tell us, Dwight.
Well, first of all, it's made in Fort Worth.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, most of your smartphones are made in China.
Right.
And by people who are underpaid, and this is made in Fort Worth by people who are underpaid. It's the first phone from the result of Google acquiring Motorola. And there were some Droid phones that came out after that, but they were already in the pipeline. This is the first one where Google said, okay, we're in charge, we're going to make this phone. And while Google has made phones in the past with partners like LG and Samsung, their Nexus phones, this is one where they essentially own the manufacturer. And so it's close to pure Android. There are some features in it that are not currently in Android, but I could see them showing up like this always listening. One of the things it does is if you say to it, okay, Google Now, it, like right now, it just says,
quiet.
Yes, question mark, wants to hear what I have to say. And then it will do a, it tries to do the voice recognition. It works, I'd say, about 70% of the time.
And it smells like a stockyard.
This is great. So it said, it heard me say, it like that says yes, it wants to hear. And so the search results, the first search results is 10 phrases your boyfriend doesn't want to hear from the site Your Tango.
What are the 10 phrases? I'm dying to know.
Well, let's hear.
I want to know if these match up with what you know to be true with your boyfriend.
Let's see.
Hey-o.
One pop-up block. That's not good. My ex did the exact same thing. Helen's pregnant. Shh. When we're married / have kids, .. Do you think she's pretty? Question mark.
So that's anyway, a bad one.
It is a bad one. But anyway, so it's very fast, it's very fluid. The only thing is you know, it's from Google, but it came with Android 4.2. Mm. 4.3 is the one you want. That's the latest one.
See, that's one of my gripes with Android. And somebody's actually one of my friends who's actually you know Allison Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
She was contemplating. She has an Android for some reason right now as a temporary phone, mm-hmm. and she's like, why? What do I need to know if I was going to consider switching to this? And I was just thinking in terms, one of the things that really aggravates me is that there's no consistency in the operating system. You don't know which version you're going to get. You know, you have to really know your versions to know if you're getting the latest version. You might get one with the latest version, but there's no guarantee you'll get the updates.
Right. The only way to get one where you guarantee it is if you get a Nexus phone, which the Google updates pretty regularly. It's almost a week or so after they formally announced 4.3, it started rolling out to the Nexus devices. It's interesting that this comes with 4.2, and they've just said, well, we'll get you 4.3 soon. It's close to, it's very close to stock Android. There are some tweaks to it, but it's not 4.2. And, of course, they are selling this through carriers. It's available from AT&T and Verizon and soon from Sprint and T-Mobile. And the AT&T version lets you customize the back and some of the accents, like the buttons and the ring around the camera. So I picked this color is called Crimson. And then I had piano black buttons and a black front. So it's kind of, this is essentially I designed this phone. There are about 18 different colors.
It has a real TNG feel to look to it.
TNG.
Next generation.
Next generation. Oh, yeah. It does. So I like it, and I would consider switching to it. But you're right. There's that whole Android thing. I also like the HTC One, which is HTC's flagship phone, and it has a beautiful design. But it also, you're at the mercy of the handset maker,
right,
and carrier.
And they throw on their extra stuff that you can't remove, right, or they might skin it in a certain way. Have you seen the Kit Kat commercial?
You mean for Android? For Android 4.4?
The Kit Kat commercial from Kit Kat, candy bar company. No, about their Kit Kat that looks like it's about a smartphone.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. Well, that
Android, I know, the 4.4. Next Android, yeah. Well, Kit Kat has released this video, and I saw it on their site. Uh-huh. And they've got this kind of young, hipster-looking guy, it looks like he's on the design team for Apple or something. And he's holding a Kit Kat bar in a package like a phone. And they're talking about the features of it, how you can take it anywhere, uh-huh, and how it, it's total, iPhone, smartphone, right, kind of commercial, but it's a Kit Kat bar.
So they're taking advantage of it.
I think that's going to help, Android.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of get them into the mainstream and get, you had me a Kit Kat bar. All right, we got some calls in the queue. Awesome. 713-526-5738. If you want to be one of those calls in the queue, you can get in line. We got two calls up, so there's plenty of open lines, and we're almost certainly going to get to your call. So, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Hi, Groovehouse.
Hi, Jay. Who's that? All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Wayne.
Wayne, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I have a Windows 2003 server. And then some XPs, Windows XPs attached to it. It's now like about 13 years old, 12 years old, something like that. 10 years old. The computer itself is even older than the Windows 3. The hard disk has got to be getting close to retirement. My concern is, how can I hook a second server into this and upload all the information off my server onto a second Windows 2003 server and plug it in to this system?
Well, are you just using the Windows server as a file server, or are you running IIS on it, or what else are you using?
It's working as a file server.
Okay, strictly as a file server.
Yeah.
So what you could do is you're going to need to... Good Lord, Dwight. You're going to have to stand up another server, the network. Just stand up the server.
Right.
And then it should be a simple matter of if it's on the network and the other one's on the network, of copying the files off the one server onto the new server so that you have them in a new location. And then once you have all your files copied over, you can then just rename the new server. You can add the accounts that you need to. Are you using Active Directory, or are you just, how are you having people authenticate to the server?
Yeah, people are authenticating on their own computers onto the server. The server is almost never accessed directly.
Okay, but how are permissions? You just have to set up the permissions on the new server the same way on the old server.
I don't know how to do that.
Who set up the old server?
A guy that has long since moved away, and I have no idea how to get in touch with him.
Oh, Lord. Well...
It's, like I said, it's been running fine for 10 years.
Go ahead, Barrett.
It's still running fine. I'm just starting to get a little worried.
No, and I think that's valid.
If you're going to buy some new hardware, one thing you could do is you could buy a little bit more hardware than you wanted to, and you could virtualize that Windows 2003 instance.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to connect. Yeah. He doesn't.
Or you can.
I don't know how to do the connections. I don't know how to make a virtual server.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Barrett likes to. You know, when
he likes
hears,
to overcomplicate things.
When he hears somebody call in and he understands the limits of their knowledge, he likes to offer a solution that's just out of reach.
How about something that might be more in reach? Would be like a NAS, network attached storage.
Well, okay.
How about hiring someone to do this for him?
Well, I mean, no matter what we suggest, and I think Groovehouse might have hit it on this one. This sounds to me like if you want to minimize your downtime or potential downtime, that you may be looking at hiring a consultant to come in. There are a number of solutions. I don't know what your level of tech savvy is, but it sounded like it's
no, it's not server level,
right? And so you don't know, I mean, because what you have all these XP machines that are connecting to this server, connecting to a share on that server. That server shared out a resource that people have connected to, and chances are whoever set all this up for you went through and set up all those shares on the workstations.
Right.
So each workstation was touched, and then the server was set up in a certain way. So understanding how it was set up in the first place, so that you can then set up a new one, might be a little bit more than you're able to take on, but there's probably a consultant out there that could do it for you. I mean, it's not going to be cheap, but somebody that would understand how you know, come in, look at the server, look at the desktops, and assess how it's set up. There might be a simpler way to do it. Now, when people are accessing the share, are they collaborating on documents? Like if somebody has an Excel document, does somebody else go in and touch that Excel document and make changes to it?
Not over the internet, but among the various XP machines.
Right, yeah. No, I'm talking local area network.
Yeah,
here.
Local.
Yeah. So do you have some kind of file checkout system or versioning system so that people know if that has been changed recently or anything like that?
I had somebody check it out, and they talked to me in multiple thousands of dollars. I might as well just buy a whole new system if I do something like that. Whereas this thing seems to still be cranking along, and I've talked to some people who have some, you know, older machines that would easily sell me just a stand-up, box that's fully functional for, you know, under $500.
How big is the office?
The office? It's kind of like one of the around about 5 people. It's not very big.
There are IT companies that will, like, you know, send people. I mean, you could go with a maintenance contract on what you have.
Mm-hmm.
But I do.
I've lucked out for the last 10 years. I haven't needed a maintenance contract in 10 years. So I guess maybe
by calling this show and just saying what you just said, that your server's going down.
Oh.
That's funny. The cost of bringing a professional now is going to be like 1/100th of the cost of data recovery if you're accidentally
on a thumb drive every night. So
what's that?
I use the Windows backup system. You know, the mirror image. It's backed up every night. So
how much data are we talking about on the server?
Only about the last time I checked, when it backs things up on that. I guess it's some sort of mirror image. It only backs up like about 16 gigs. It's not that much. It compresses all the data.
That might be a differential backup too, but I don't know how much. I mean, like, if you were to take all of the Excel documents and Word documents and tally that up, I wonder how much that is. If it's really small, then Pete's suggestion of a NAS can come into play, where you have you're not necessarily running a 2000 server. You're running just a hard drive or a series of hard drives that stores your data that's accessible from all the various workstations.
Right.
So you could...
Each workstation has the program. It's the main file sharing is just keeping the data compressed so it's accessed.
What program are they using?
This is a medical program. I'm a physician.
Okay, so
it's using a proprietary.
So you're using a proprietary piece of software running on these XP machines. It's accessing a database that's actually being served up on that server.
Yeah, but it's local. It's not pushed up on the cloud.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's you're talking when you're talking about a proprietary piece of software like that. Then there's every chance that that software won't run on newer operating systems.
That's what I'm concerned about.
And I don't know if that
it just runs fine the way it is. It does great. So I'm just a little. After 10 years, I guess I should be a little concerned.
Well, you're a doctor. You can afford to go to IT.
How old is your car?
My car? Yeah. I'm driving a 2005 Chrysler 300 with 150,000 miles on it. And it gets 30 miles a gallon. It's great. It's the best car I've ever had.
This is a frugal doctor we got here. All right. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Greenhouse? You're making gestures. That's like Greenhouse.
What's that?
Nothing. I was talking to the phone screener. He was making faces at me.
Listen, I'm a country doctor. I'm calling out from Nacogdoches, Texas. So that's a long way from you guys.
It is. It's out there in the boonies. So, but you know, I guess you might want to go do a little research on the software that you're using.
Okay.
Because they might offer a cloud-based solution for something like that.
Okay.
So where you would... Go ahead, Pete.
Or if you pony up for the consultant, then Barrett's suggestion where you virtualize it, where you basically make a virtual copy, the nice part about once it's virtualized is then you can kind of move it around almost like it's a program. You can move it to other servers in the future and, you know, keep doing that so that when the Jetson... time comes and everybody's doing all their medical on an iPad, you can still connect your old computers up to it and use it.
My
I understand that. I try a cloud-based system I won't tell you how much I lost on that system, and I hated it.
Well, but
I'd rather have something that's on the ground that I can actually feel, touch, and
I understand that. I understand that completely. My concern for you would be that, you know, at some point these workstations that are running XP are going to need to be replaced.
Sure.
And those are going to be Windows 7 or Windows 8 computers. So does the client software even work, your version of it?
Yes, they do. They will work on Windows 7.
They will?
Yep.
Okay.
I've got Windows 7 and 8 computers that tie actually into the system Wi-Fi.
Who set those up for you? The same guy?
Yeah.
And he's just
a second guy set them up, but he's not around either. It was his brother. They're both gone.
Okay, while we got you on the phone, one thing I want to share with our listeners, and my wife has a similar situation at her job where they've got this IT infrastructure set up, and the guy that's done it for them has he's got his own quirks about him. And what Cynthia says, like, you know, we pay this guy to set it up and do this stuff. Why didn't they negotiate documenting it? So if you are if you're working with a consultant or you're working with a contractor who's managing your IT infrastructure, part of that contract should include documentation that says, here's the software we're using, here's the hardware we're using, you know, all the important stuff. Here are your passwords. Here's your passwords. Here's, you know, kind of not necessarily how you would rebuild it, but at least what the infrastructure is. So you can take this document, go to another IT guy and say, look, this is what I've got in place. Can you help me? Or is this manageable by a third, you know, another party? If somebody came in and was able to stand up a couple of Windows 7 boxes against this, so it sounds to me like all you need is a computer running the database, whatever that is, and then you just need to know how to connect different computers to that database. And it's quite possible that the client software that you're running on the individual workstations asks for, like, the server name or the IP of the server, and some of that could be on the back end. But you might look at contacting the software maker and ask if they have anybody if they do consulting work on that software, if they have like somebody, a project manager or some kind of developer that might come out and be able to evaluate your system and offer, you know, talk about what it would take to bring you into the 20th century.
Well, Well, that's true. That's the one that wanted to sell me a whole new system because they say mine's antique, although it runs fine.
Yeah, but it runs fine, but if it goes down, can it be reset up?
You know, that's why I back it up every night, but then maybe you're right. Maybe I'll go to an upgraded system.
Well, you know, if you go to an upgraded system with a maintenance contract on it and something where you can get support for it, or if maybe they have a simpler solution. I mean, I know you're not a fan of the cloud from your other experience, but if you know this software in particular and you like it and it works, chances are they have updated it, and they might have updated it in a way that makes sense to go to a cloud-based system, because then you're not having to worry about your data being backed up. If they have a server where they're managing your data, and all you got to do is fire up a web browser, get on the internet, and connect to it, that might be reasonable. I don't know the software, and I can't advise you on that. But you know, obviously, if you call any software vendor or tech company, they're going to try to upsell you and try to get as much money out of you as possible.
Sure.
But
the vendor of the software did not set up the system. I mean, they told me the software, this guy 10 years ago loaded it up, and it's been running fine ever since. It's just that, you know, they just worry about it.
I think it's valid to worry, because at some point it goes down and your productivity goes in the toilet. So maybe you just hire an IT guy, find another, maybe that guy's got another brother or cousin or something.
I'll check the phone book.
there's a company I don't know if, they don't do business in Nacogdoches necessarily, but you might want to contact them. They're called the Computer Hospital, and they might be able to make a recommendation for an IT service in that area that can offer you some services.
I think the big thing, just stay away from vendors. Stay away from anyone that's specifically there to sell you stuff.
Right.
You know, go to someone that can just come in and take stock of the situation.
Right. Is this Computer Hospital, they're on the internet?
If you Google search Computer Hospital Houston, they're reputable.
They're good folks.
I've talked to them, and I've had work done with them. They don't pay me anything to recommend them. They're just good. And there's very few good people out there in the tech biz.
Well, thanks for your time.
All right, well, I appreciate your call.
Right.
Hey, it hurts when I do this. Never mind. Gotta get on.
No, it should be. I've had this for 10 years, and
I've had this dull pain in my chest for the last 10 years. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air. We got about 9 minutes. We got about 7 minutes before we have to take a break at the top of the hour. Take care of some station business, but if you want to call in and get in the queue, and we might be able to get another call on the air here before we go to the break, but give us a call, 713-526-5738. They're gone.
Just call and talk to Groove.
They wanted information that I didn't have, so.
But we do. We have it.
I was about to become the Air Voices answering service, but I directed him
elsewhere. Peace on Earth, you tell
him. Yes, I should have, as I hung up the phone.
Peace on Earth.
All right, well, welcome to Air Voices. 713-526-5738.
It's Technology Bites.
It is Technology Bites. Yes, all the live long day.
Yeehaw! Yes, we're neither Damage Control nor Air Voices.
That's right, we don't do shout-outs.
Well, we might do shout-outs.
We have done shout-outs. Dwight is a sucker for shout-outs. So all you got to do is tweet at him. Here it comes.
Here it comes. Brace yourselves.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Twitter. All of it.
All of it. All of you. Are you hanging in there, Flicted? You weren't here
working
last
on
week.
It. I was not.
We missed you. We're glad you're back.
And in peace.
I did think about y'all.
Did you?
Yeah, like, you know, right when I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make it to the show.
That was it.
And so you told us that you're not making it to the show, and then that was all we heard from
you. Not making it to the show.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. What are you waving at?
So the phone Dwight has.
The phone that Dwight has.
You're really fixated on that.
I'm just curious. He brought it in, and
I think Groovehouse is
anyway, can I buy it and just put it on my?
Are you on the market?
No, I never. I can't sell this to you. You have to. I have to give it back.
No, of course not.
Of course not. I don't expect.
I told you Dwight was up to no good.
You want
to
buy a phone?
Hey, kid.
Hey, Groovehouse.
You want to buy a phone?
Yeah, it's the old bait and switch.
When it comes out, when it's available to the public, is it a phone that
it's available now?
Can I buy it through? Is it through a certain?
Is it unlocked? Carrier? It's through all the carriers will have it right now. AT&T and Verizon have it, and eventually T-Mobile and Sprint will have it too.
Okay,
but they haven't said exactly when. But AT&T is the only one that lets you customize it online. Hmm. So when you can go into a carrier store and buy it, you know, in a variety of colors. But this is the only way you can actually customize it. Eventually, you'll be able to customize it from all the carriers, but at the moment, not.
Okay, so it's coming. It's still down the pipe.
Yes, unless you're an AT&T or Verizon customer.
Right. Okay, just curious. I mean, it's made in Texas. It's a Google phone. It's
It's the second. You know, Apple is making the Mac Pro, the new version of the Mac Pro, in El Paso. So there'll be two of these high-tech devices.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a next-generation MacBook Pro.
Phone. Mac Pro.
Mac Pro.
It's the black trash can.
Yeah. The trash can. Have you seen that you can actually buy a trash can that looks like the Mac Pro?
Yes. Put it on your desk and make people envious.
I knew that was coming.
I didn't know it was coming, but there it is. All right. Well, for some reason, the calls have dried up. They were really never flowing that great tonight anyway.
Maybe second half we'll have some more calls. We can
might.
You know, six lines open and available.
Got this talk show here going on.
It's not even the last episode of Breaking Bad, for God's sake.
I didn't. So you're a day behind, right?
Not even. I'm a day behind.
Yeah, you're. Oh, no, obviously you're caught up, but you're always a day behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it airs Sunday. You check
it out on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It strikes me that they're kind of slow burning 8 episodes. I'm not liking that.
Oh, I love the episodes so far. They're very, they've been all very good.
The split timeline, this last one, was good, but I felt cheated a little bit.
So did you see the autograph that Aaron Paul left in Beaumont?
Made me want to drive to Beaumont. Aaron Paul, who plays
Jesse Pinkman.
Jesse Pinkman is filming a movie in Beaumont.
Right. And Juliet Lewis.
That's the name of the movie? Or the
No, that's it. With her. She's
Juliet Lewis story. Totally. So, he's in Beaumont, and apparently he likes to go to Carrabba's. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And he wrote an autograph. He wrote a note saying, you know, basically.
It says, Johnny, stay away from Mr. White, your friend Aaron Paul, Jesse Pinkman. Don't do meth.
So I heard he was there, but I thought that was maybe because they were going to wrap up the series in Beaumont somehow. I was all excited. No such luck.
Unless
that's a pretty big plot twist.
Mr. White goes to the seventh circle of hell. He's not.
Yeah, they'll have to really hit the
last
skid
episode
to
of
get
Breaking
there.
Bad. He's going to wake up a la Bob Newhart at the
in Beaumont.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. Take a short break, do some station business, and then come back for the second half of Technology Bites. So we'll see you in a minute. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Plicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
the Roofhouse.
Congress and the hedge fund stole our houses and our pensions, conspired to steal our health care at conservative conventions.
Why do we need a conference on economic justice on September 7th in Houston? Economic justice, as Martin Luther King Jr. well knew and espoused, is tied to every other kind of justice. Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, will be the featured speaker. Participatory breakout groups covering a host of economic justice topics, including co-ops, sustainability, student tuition and loan hikes, and payday loan predators, will also be part of the all-day event, so we can learn both about the widespread effects of social injustice and what we can do about them. The Economic Justice Conference will be at the University of Houston on Saturday, September 7th, and is co-sponsored by the Houston Peace and Justice Center and UH's Student Government Association. For more information and to register, go to hpjc.org. This is KPFT, Houston.
Don't think you can make a difference? Be part of a movement that can revolutionize the radio station you know and love. By joining KPFT's Sustainer program, you can support your station and help KPFT reduce its pledge drives. What's a Sustainer? Rather than giving a yearly gift, Sustainers give a monthly donation that continues as long as you want. Giving $20, $100, or $500 monthly helps change the way KPFT operates. From having to meet our operating expenses through days and days of on-air fundraising, to friends of the station boosting it off-air throughout the fiscal year. Contact our development director at 713-526-4000 to inquire about our Sustainer program. Did you know Sustainers can ultimately give a gift that is substantially larger than annual givers? That means less pledge drive, more efficiency, and greater stability for KPFT, regardless of the time of year. Again, just call our development director at 713-526-4000 to inquire about our Sustainer program. Make a difference today. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, and now back to Technology Bites.
Do we have a Barrett time?
I was told no.
No, we do have a lot of code, though, that I got written for work. I can read that.
All right.
Yeah, and we do have a geek gathering coming up this Friday,
yes,
which is important.
Reiterate the geek gathering. Yeah, we should. Go ahead.
Cones.
Say something clever.
Yeah, it's a Cones 2808. The trick. Perform. Dance.
Dance, monkey boy, dance!
We do have a geek gathering coming up. It's this Friday at 2808 Milam at Drew's. It's Cone's Coffee.
Barrett.
Yeah. Nice. But is it Cone's Coffee White Darts and
Coffee
Art?
White Darts?
Coffee Dwight Darts.
There you go. Coffee Dwight.
There's all kinds of stuff there. Yeah, sure. Things get started a little after 7 and wrap up around 11:30. Plenty of parking. There are restaurants in the area. I don't know if they can have a food truck this time, but in the past they have.
They have. They switched food trucks, and it shows up allegedly every Friday. So we'll see.
Okay, so we'll
they
see.
Switched?
How
yeah.
You know?
Colin said.
Well,
he said.
Well, what was the what's the new one?
I don't know.
He's not going to eat there anyway.
I'm on.
And then as Dwight's phone says, 94 degrees, 30% chance of rain.
Right.
And storms.
Chance of storm.
Yeah, I'm looking for. Now, you know, if I usually like leave early because I can't stay up that late. So I'm there till about 9:30 or 10. But definitely everybody come on out. And if you've never been to a geek gathering, these are excellent events. They're really relaxed. You don't even have to be a geek to come. There will be the Blinkenbox. Will be there.
Blinkenbox will be there. KD5 is bringing out some Pivo stuff and some light, some light up stuff. We'll have a lot of DEFCON stuff out, so things that can break into Wi-Fi and get into Bluetooth and all kinds of fun stuff.
And I'll have this. If you've not seen a Moto X or you're interested in it, I'll have the Moto X.
Maybe Groovehouse will show up.
Maybe.
He's always a maybe.
Are you going to make it Flicted?
I think so.
All right.
All right. That's it for Barrett time.
All right. 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air, all of our open lines are open. Open lines are open.
That they are.
We can take your call if you have any questions or concerns or want to talk tech. We're here to talk to you. Man, that is such an awesome photo. Check out this photo. It's a picture of the fans at a baseball game and a ball loose.
Oh, that's awesome. Who took that? Is that a professional photographer?
I don't know who's taken it. I'm just doing
it. Is it the people which game? Scared,
Can you tell?
Well, there's yep. I can't tell.
There's a lot of people, so it can't be an Astros game.
No, it's a Red Sox game. I see a lot of Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
So that it's just I can Google image search and see if I can find out where the photo came from.
This the one I think it is. I saw that a year or two ago.
How'd you find it?
It showed up on John Nova Lomax's Facebook stream.
Gotcha.
And it looks like it might have been around for a little while. Is this the funniest photo in baseball history? It showed up on Mashable today, or. I hate when they don't make the date readily available. It looks like just the other day it showed up on Mashable. That is a great photo. Let's see, if this picture tells a thousand words, the old cliche goes, this amazing sports shot is good for at least a million. Seriously, every single face, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't credit the photographer, so I don't know if they... It was taken at Fenway Park. Let's see. doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't say who took the actual photos, but it's a great photo. I have to, hold on a minute. I gotta tweet that. All right, phones are ringing. Phones are ringing.
Shot by Jim Davis of the Boston Globe.
Oh, it's a Getty image. Jim Davis, Boston Globe.
I thought he only wrote Garfield. He's multi-talented. That's pretty impressive.
You'll have to twite that out on Dwighter.
713-526-5738. Yes. We do have calls coming in. And, oh, wait a minute. What happened to my computer?
Yours power? No, yours
just went blank.
See? That's what mine does. That's what mine's been doing.
But I just tapped a few times and it came back.
Yeah, see, mine won't come back.
Power nap?
I don't know. My computer's got a mind of its own.
I think Groovehouse wants to give it. Oh, no. He's,
no, he doesn't. Back on
it. Stuxnet.
All right. So Groovehouse is struggling with a caller right now. Let's go ahead and take that first call there.
All right. It's Peter.
Peter, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi there.
Hi.
I bought a Mac Mini back in December after being a 30-year PC user. And I've been struggling with just kind of the file structure and how it works. And somebody suggested, they said, well, you can just load Windows 7 on your Mac and it'll run it. My question is, if I do that, will I lose some of the apparent security advantages?
You'll have a computer running Windows and all that that entails.
Okay.
So the vulnerability of any computer is the software that it's running.
Okay.
So you have the Apple software, which, you know, technically is more secure than Windows because there's not as many exploits out in the wild for the Mac OS as there are for the Windows OS.
Okay.
So if you take the Apple OS off, the Mac OS off, and you replace it with the Microsoft OS, then you get everything that comes with that.
Well, and you could take the Mac OS off, but that's generally not how it's done. What people do is they run it one of two ways. There's an app built in to the Mac OS called Bootcamp, and it lets you set up Windows and Mac in a dual boot situation. So you could switch back and forth between the two of them. Or you can do what's called virtualization, where you run Windows in a window on the Mac. So it's like an app running on the Mac. And that way you can actually interact between them. You can drop documents between them. You
what
can
is your
do
goal?
All kinds of things.
What is your goal?
Well, my goal is to not have things, when I open up pictures, they seem to jump into iPhoto, and I maybe don't want them in iPhoto. I want them in a folder that I set up somewhere.
That's easy enough to do. You can turn off where, like, I have a Mac, and I do a lot of photography, so on my new iMac, for example, I plug in an SD card, and iPhoto pops up. And I don't want to use iPhoto. I don't want to import my photos that way. I want to actually just double-click on the SD card, drag my photos into a folder that I create. So you could turn that off, and I forget how...
It's in iPhoto.
It's in iPhoto. So, yeah, when I launch iPhoto and go into the settings, and you can tell it not to respond to an SD card being plugged in. And you can Google search how to do this if you need step-by-step instructions.
Okay.
So you can do that. So, you know, Windows has a similar feature. You have to turn it off in Windows, too. Windows will do a thing where it'll detect
stuff automatically.
It'll import stuff, especially Windows 7, where it says, oh, hey, look, a card. You want to import those photos? And I'm with you. I don't want to import them anywhere. I want to manage them myself. So you can turn that off.
Okay. And another question. Now, this is a minor thing that I'm sure I could figure out, but every now and then it seems like if my mouse wanders to the bottom of the page, whatever I'm looking at just kind of disappears, and I go to, like, the home screen. And what is that all about? It seems like if I wiggle my mouse around, eventually I find whatever it was I was doing.
You have the Mac has hot corners where if you put the mouse cursor down in the bottom corner or the top corners, you can program them to do different things. So, for example, on my Mac, when I move the mouse cursor to the upper right-hand corner, it blacks the screen. So if I want to walk away from my laptop, I can do that, and it's secure. You probably have hot corners, and that's set up in the preferences.
Okay.
In the system preferences, it's on the, I believe it's a desktop and screensaver, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. But so yeah, all these things
system preferences and look for something called hot corners.
Well, yeah. If you Google search again. Now that you know the name of it, you can find some concise instructions on how to use hot corners, what they do, how to manage them, how to turn them off, and that sort of thing. I hear you, because like when you don't know it's there and your mouse gets down off to one side, then all of a sudden your screen goes crazy.
Yeah, it's in the screensaver preference.
Yeah,
and it's always when you're on the phone with somebody, you're looking up financial information. And all of a sudden it disappears.
I always struggled with it before I got a Mac, and somebody would like, let's see, can I use your computer real quick to get on the internet? And they hand me their computer, and I would touch something, and everything would just vanish. And I was like, what the heck is going on here?
Right. The other thing, this is a Mac Mini you have?
Yeah.
And do you have a mouse or one of the Apple trackpads with it?
I've got the Apple Magic Mouse, the wireless mouse and the wireless keyboard.
Yeah, the mouse can also be programmed to like make things move out of the way. So that may also be happening for you. It just depends on how it's programmed.
Okay. Well, I've not done obviously any programming of any of these things.
If you have a friend who's Mac savvy, you ought to have them sit down with you and show you some of these tricks and you know, talk to them about what you want and get them to kind of show you what to do, because all the things that you're describing are really just a function of kind of not knowing which switches to turn off and how to customize it, which is true with any operating system.
Right. Oh, yeah. And everyone told me I should try this. It'd be a better system. And I'm just finding it very frustrating because I've got a lot of old habits to unlearn.
The other thing you can do is the Apple Store gives free lessons. And you can actually go to the Apple Store and sign up, and they'll walk you through kind of some basics, and then you can ask questions of the guys running the class, and he'll kind of show you stuff there too.
Okay. Now that would be helpful. My daughter is very Mac savvy, but she's at university, so I can't always be calling her. She suggested I do that too.
Yeah, they're very. It's very friendly, and you'll have a good time. They make it fun.
All right, well, thank you very much for the call. Hot corners and fix iPhoto not to eat my photos if I don't want it to.
Right. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
So all those people dialing in that Groovehouse was trying to screen, and they're just gone.
I heard
you yelling at one of them.
Well,
it's okay.
He didn't understand what I was saying, and he was foreign, so I was just trying to... I wasn't yelling, like, angry. I was just, like,
Speak your language, so you elevated your voice.
I was just, whatever.
I'm just kidding. I just heard it.
I'm fielding all the calls. I mean,
I hear you,
station
man.
Station business.
I understand. I'm right there with you, man. If I get frustrated and I'm not liking the way things are going, my voice goes up.
I attempted to take his donation, but I couldn't take a car. So I told him he had to call back during regular business hours.
Call during car donating hours?
What kind of car was it?
I didn't ask.
You should have asked.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, bring me the keys. I'll write you a receipt right now.
This old car he had in the barn before his son went to Vietnam.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
A little dusty.
427.
A little dusty, but, you know.
Original paint. All right.
One owner.
713-526-5738. Man, I think it might be tomorrow, and I'm not going to be around to go to it, but there's a shop opening up on Main Street down by the Continental Club called The Place Upstairs.
Okay.
Now, I have been to resale shops. I have been to antique stores. I have been looking for the weirdest things and the oddest things and the most used things and collectible things. I've gone all over the place looking for this stuff, and I have never seen a shop like this.
Really?
I'm not suggesting people. I just want to talk about it because it was just so amazing to see this place. I went in, and it's run by a guy named Crazy Mike.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. Crazy is an understatement for Crazy Mike. But you go in there, and he's got like. He's got this electronic device, like a medical device, that I've only seen in a museum, to where you have these knobs and dials, and you put the glass up to the body, and it runs electrical current through you.
Is that for sale?
Yes. It's all for sale. And he's in, and underneath one of the display tables, he's got a Victorian display coffin, viewing coffin. So it's a coffin with a glass top. Inside the coffin is a real human skeleton, and it's for sale. I mean, he's got...
Is that legal?
Yeah.
Not on eBay. You got to pick it up in person.
As long as you don't dig it up out of a grave to get it. I don't know if it's a medical cadaver or something that. But just weird, weird, great weird stuff. Great weird stuff.
One might even say crazy.
Crazy. You would say yes.
Weird, interesting.
So I think they're having their grand opening tomorrow, but man, if this stuff doesn't fly out the door, this guy is collected and collected and collected. And it's all his stuff, and they're
not doing consignment.
He may or may not do trades or consignments. All the stuff that's in there is him. It belongs to him and his wife, and it's not even a tenth of what they have.
Awesome.
They're just wanting this, you know.
They're hoarders.
Like American pickers meet hoarders meet and some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen in my life. If you want to go see some crazy stuff, the place upstairs is crazy.
Neato.
713-526-573. I think they're supposed to be having their grand opening tomorrow.
Is it actually upstairs?
You actually have to go upstairs. So you have to go upstairs. There's a doorway in the front to the left of Tacos and Go-Go over there, and you go upstairs and you go back in the back corner.
Is there somebody at the door that like sizes you up to decide if you can go in or not?
I just like there to be one of those sliding people. What's the password? Skeleton! All right, come in. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. 713-526-KPFT. Wow, what is the deal? I mean, is it Futurama or is it Syria? What's going on? Is it Carrie?
So what happened with Syria?
I've
been kind of out of...
That's touch. True.
Let me Google that for you.
Oh, man. If we get off on talking about Syria...
No.
We don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
Can you just give me like a brief 20-second synopsis of...
20-second synopsis is that Obama wants to do a military strike on Syria. He's trying to get approval from... He's actually going to... Apparently, he may not have to, but he's going through the approval process, change management and all that. And... So it's being debated.
To actually, just strike or to actually deploy?
Deploy, strike only. And then the people are saying, well, why?
You know about the chemical weapons.
Yeah, they claim to have evidence that that's true now. Yeah. And, of course, Russia, is on the other side of the coin. And so there's that whole Snowden angle, too, and that stuff going on. So
It's complicated. As they say on Facebook.
Yeah. 713-526-5. Well, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about, stuff that we can manage. A surgical strike on the virus on your hard drive or something like that. 713-526-KPFP.
There we go.
So is the iPhone 5S, right? That's what's coming?
In theory. Supposedly. The 5S and
or
the 5C.
C. Yeah.
The 5S and the 5C. C for color. It's plastic, less expensive.
See, the C seems like, with the things they sent out, seems very likely.
Yep.
Maybe they won't even have an S. Maybe it'll just be the C.
Well, no, it's supposed to be like a gold iPhone 5S.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Champagne.
That's disturbing.
Color. The pictures I've seen look not too bad.
That's when it crosses a line, though. That's like when all the, like stereo equipment started going to like champagne gold color there for a while in the like late 80s.
Well, apparently it's that color is extremely popular in Asian countries, and that's one of the reasons why.
Do you think maybe they won't sell it in the U.S.?
They will sell it, but they'll sell a lot more there. So I buy it. There's also this rumor that there's also a new Apple TV device coming. There are apparently there's a bill of lading that showed up on Homeland Security database for shipments into the U.S. that matches the type of bill of lading that Apple received, that Apple got when the last update to the Apple TV hardware showed up. And so there's some speculation that we're about to have also an update to Apple TV. And since I just bought mine a few months ago, it makes sense.
Yeah, I bought mine even more recently, and of course, they're going to come out with a new one.
Right.
All right, well, let's go to, let's see if Groove House is going to give us a call and give them the opportunity to feed it to us. I'll go ahead and take a call, or what?
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. We want to give you the opportunity to bring the call on air.
Let's do it.
All right, who do we have up?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Max.
Max, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, I was wondering what you guys had to say about the AT&T buyout and how that might affect the communications industry.
What AT&T buyout?
Verizon, the $140 billion.
No. Verizon is buying Vodafone out. Vodafone stake.
Okay, yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a buyout from Vodafone.
So the way it works is that Verizon and Vodafone were partners in Verizon's wireless business.
Okay.
They jointly owned it. And so Verizon is buying out Vodafone's stake. And that'll pretty much have zero impact for most consumers.
Okay. Charlie Gore, I appreciate that.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Another Snopes moment for technology.
Although, didn't AT&T buy something recently?
They're always buying something.
Yeah, but I thought I saw something in the news they bought. I forgot what it was. Something that people said it might compete with.
Well, they started a company called AIO, which is a prepaid service that's branded differently.
But they already had
Go.
They already had Go.
Yeah, this is something else.
Now, Microsoft bought somebody.
Yes.
Maybe it's Microsoft I was thinking of and not
They
AT&T.
Bought Nokia?
They bought Nokia.
Yeah, that's actually what it was. Microsoft bought Nokia. Now,
the handsets and the services division, not all of it.
Handsets and the services, right. So, and here's something very interesting about this. So, in 2010, or thereabouts, so 2010, 2011, a former Microsoft executive named Stephen Elop became the CEO of Nokia. And shortly after that, he said, you know what we're going to do? We are going to dump our Symbian operating system that has served us for years because it's on fire and nobody wants it. And we're going to go with something else nobody wants, which is Windows Phone. And there were all these rumblings like, well, obviously what's happening is that they're fattening Nokia up in order to be bought by Microsoft. And Stephen Elop said, no, that's not what's happening here. We're making a strategic decision. And then, lo and behold, Steve Ballmer announces his retirement. And the next week, Stephen Elop and Nokia are a part of Microsoft again. He brought the fatted calf home. Well, it's not so fat. It's kind of skinny and weak.
It's not looking too good.
It's not looking too
good. I wouldn't eat it just yet.
When Nokia and Microsoft paired up, I wrote the analogy that here's two people who can't swim very well clinging on to each other in hopes of surviving. And that's kind of what is still happening. Stephen Elop is rumored to be a CEO candidate to replace Ballmer.
What happened to that Nokia? Wasn't there like a flagship Nokia phone?
The 1020, yeah.
It looked really nice. I mean, it looked like an old iPod, sort of. Not the classic iPod, right. But like the mini, where it was kind of like rounded on the edges, but aluminum,
yes,
wrapped.
Yeah,
it was a nice looking
Lumia
phone.
That's Lumia.
Yeah, that was it.
And
yeah,
they all kind of look like that. Remember the yellow phone I had with the big lens on the back of it? That's one of them. And they're nice phones, but they're just not getting any traction. With the year that the iPhone came out, Nokia had almost 50% of the cell phone market. Now it has 3% of the cell phone market. And that's down almost. It was 5.8% last year, so they're in decline. And it's very interesting to see what Microsoft gets. Microsoft obviously realizes that it has to do kind of the Apple thing and control the hardware end to end in this post PC era.
All right, Grewhouse. I see we have calls in the queue.
Yes.
713-526-5738 if you want to be one of those calls in the queue. 713-526-KPFT. But right now, with two calls in the queue, we can take one and have one in reserve.
That's right, as long as they don't hang up.
All right, who is it?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Kevin.
Kevin, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. Got an issue with my Galaxy 3 Samsung. When I use my speed dial numbers, I get this message that says, DSSN something running can't use operation. I can't go and try it on my phone because I'm talking on it right now. But I Googled that, and they said that that wasn't... Stuff I was reading said that that could possibly be a phone virus or something going on in my phone. Hello?
Okay, well, yeah. Do you happen to know the exact text of the error?
I think it says DSSN.
DSSN? Yeah. And it happens when you try to use the speed dial option?
Yeah, like a speed dial option. And when I Googled it, they said that that's possible a virus or a hacker attack. I'm like, what the heck?
No, I see a DSN, but I'm not seeing it. But I'm not seeing anything DSSN really.
DSSN, yeah.
Well, okay. So if you've gone online and done some research on the error when you actually knew what the error was, and you're seeing indications that it could be virus related, I take that with a grain of salt because you're reading discussion forums, and you need to know whether or not those forums are, you know. What I see a lot of times, people say on certain forums, somebody will say, I'm having this problem. Somebody will jump up and say it's a virus, and they're just talking out of the side of their mouth. Other forums, they might say something like that, and they're talking truth. I don't know the forum, and I don't know the error, so I'm kind of stuck with that one. Have you contacted your provider, tech support for the phone? Is it still under warranty?
Yes, it's under warranty.
All right, if you suspect...
I went to the one AT&T store by my house and where I live, and the guy didn't. He wasn't very helpful. He Googled it himself.
Okay.
That's usually the kind of tech service you get at an AT&T
store. Well, usually if you go to the store, that's not a good place to get tech support for other than, like, you know, for phones like AT&T. Those guys are only selling phones.
Right.
But if you call the AT&T support line, you might actually get somebody who has a technical background.
I think it's 611 on an AT&T phone.
Gotcha. Okay. But I'll give that a try. I just wanted to bounce that off.
Well, one other thing you could do is, are you back? Have you told the phone to back up all the settings and so forth to Google?
Yes.
All right. So one of the things you can do is you can go, if you've got everything backed up, you can go into the phone, and I forget exactly where this is in the S3, maybe Groovehouse knows, and you could essentially do a full reset to factory settings and then sign into your Google account, and all of your other settings will come back, and it should re-download all of your apps.
Right.
And that will give you essentially a fresh start and may get rid of the problem.
I'll give that a try. I was wondering if it was Eric Holder listening in on my phone calls or something, NSA, but...
Well, you know,
he's stealthier than that.
Yeah. Just a side note, I know, you know, we're talking earlier about the Syria thing. Type in pipeline Syria. The Saudis and Qatar want to run a pipeline through Afghanistan or through Syria. Assad doesn't want to do it. Russia wants to sell natural gas to Europe. They want to run this multi-billion-dollar natural gas pipeline through Syria to supply Europe with natural gas. So you wonder why we're going to war for no reason? That might be the reason.
All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye. Yep, politics. It's a thing. 713-526-5738. You know, there's more going on everywhere than I could probably ever hope to understand or comprehend, but this isn't the show for it. Groovehouse.
Yes.
I see we have a call left
yes,
over.
Yes, we do.
We got 30 minutes left in the show, so we got plenty of time to take more calls. Computers, please. Politics, no. Or the politics of computing. Like,
work.
You know, talk about Microsoft buyouts and...
Amazon's hiring 100 people with top secret clearance. They'd have to be able to get top secret clearance. Coming right after the NSA saying they're firing 90% of their admins, which isn't entirely true. But it looks like Amazon's going to be building out a private cloud for the CIA, maybe.
Nice. Really?
Yeah, that's kind of something. Political, you know.
Yeah?
As political as we get.
I wonder if you could get NSA Prime.
We have a dyslexic...
All your calls listened to first.
Yeah.
You've got a dyslexic NSA agent on the line.
We're going to have free two-day delivery on Freedom of Information Act requests.
We laugh now.
We do laugh now.
We laugh only because it's true and it's painful.
Or we have an encrypted NSA call on line 3. It's the NAS.
The Rot 13. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who is this person? What do they want?
I don't know, but we're going to speak with Ben.
Ben, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
Good.
Sounds like fun up there today.
That's all right.
I have a number of old drives from old computers that probably are still operable. I was thinking about the usability of using them in some sort of a NAS-type device. Or use it on a little home network.
Sure, you can do that. Now, how big is the biggest drive?
80 maybe.
80 gigs. We're setting up a NAS. You can set it up as a RAID, right? So you can.
Okay.
All the drives have to be matching, though, usually, when you do that.
If you're going to set it up as a RAID, you'd have to have, like, all 80 gigs or.
Or if they are not the same size, you can set it up as RAID 0. Which is okay, but anything beyond that, you're going to lose all the size bigger than the smallest drive.
So if you set it up as RAID 0, you could basically combine those drives into one large amount of storage.
Okay.
But there's no RAID 0 doesn't have any kind of redundancy or
so if anything
kind of
happens to one of the drives, it could corrupt all of your data.
Even if it's RAID 0, you mean?
Yeah. Because RAID 0 just allows it to stripe all of the drives and treat it as one big block of storage. So it'll copy files to one drive and some of the same files to another drive. And the way that it reads it as one big disk. So if anything happens to it, you could lose a core part of your data. There's no redundancy. But if they were all the same size drive, then you could do it as a RAID 1 and have redundancy where you could have two of the drives make one drive and that two more drives make another drive that backs it up.
But yeah, like for example, if you had an 80 gig drive and 120 gig drive and you went to do RAID 1, which is mirroring, you'd basically only be able to get
80 gig
mirrored and you would lose the rest of the other 120 gig. You'd lose the 40 gig of the 120 gig drive.
Would that just be separated out as a separate partition, or the system would not see the extra 40?
I don't know if you could actually partition it and use it
as a
standalone drive or not. I wouldn't think so, though. I think it'd just become unused space that you couldn't.
There's
access.
No real reason to do that anymore. It just kind of ups the risk if you're not going to mirror.
Okay.
There's some stuff like Netgear makes some. There's some consumer level NAS stuff out there that you can buy empty, and you can just like plug in the drives. Most of them have a web interface. You can go in and say, "Hey, I want RAID 0, RAID 1, or no RAID." Netgear makes a line called ReadyNAS. I've gotten a couple of those. There's a lot of stuff that's comparable. Just going out to Amazon or someplace and
Buffalo's another one.
Buffalo's good, yeah. And search, and you can either do one or two things. It sounds like since you've already got a bunch of drives, you've got on hand. Buy the empty enclosure. Just make sure a lot of them come with SATA and IDE. So, maybe future-proof, get one that does both. Or I'm guessing with an 80-gig drive, you probably have some old IDE drives. So, make sure it's got IDE.
Well, my thinking was to have the home of the old drive, so the original files or something, so that if we needed to refer to them or pull them up or look for them or something, my wife's a writer, among other things, so everything that she puts down, let's not go there. If you understand what I mean, it's all golden prose.
Right.
Well, yeah, check out some of the ReadyNAS stuff. Check out some of the Buffalo stuff. You can get stuff for a couple $100 that has, starting out around 4 bays, and you can go up to, 8 bays. And if you want to spend a lot of money, you can even get 16, depending on how many drives you have and how prolific your wife can be.
Find one. That would work with the 3 or 4 bays that probably could fill up with these old drives. and just have them, you know, essentially have them available online in case we needed to find particular files.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess if you're talking about using these old drives as some kind of backup or redundancy for something you already have, that might make some sense. But I don't know that I would set up something like this with older drives and rely on that as my principal amount of access. I mean, storage is cheap these days. You can, I mean, for what it's going to cost you to, you know, get a NAS bay for all of this and get it all set up, I mean, you will save some money, but for what you're going to get, you might as well consider buying an existing large drive.
How much data does she actually have? Like, how much data are you looking to back up? Or, you know, not back up, but keep a duplicate copy of? Do you know?
I think most of them are, say, two-thirds full.
Total what? Total amount of space is?
Let's take out 80.
So 80 gigs
total? Two-thirds to three-quarters full.
See, I think you can get a 500-gig drive nowadays for $150 or less, probably.
Yeah, they even make, I know, like, Seagate and Civil Make, where you can buy, like, the double drive enclosures. Jade, didn't you get one that kind of rated?
I bought a pre-existing RAID drive. I bought a terabyte of storage. It's got 2 1-terabyte drives in it. So
yeah.
I can either do it as a RAID 0 and have 2 terabytes, or I can do it as a RAID 1 and have 1 terabyte with redundancy.
And that's going to come in cheaper, I think, than your NAS enclosure, most of them, because like I said, most of these are like, you know, they can be $300-$400 for a four bay and up. And you're going to get brand new drives and a ton more space than, you know, your 4 times 80 gigs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, looking at 320 gigs versus, you know, terabyte or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And new equipment set up, ready to work, not relying on what you think you did about...
Happy wife.
Happy wife.
Okay.
Just a thought. All right, gave you something to work with. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And all of our lines are open. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse is feeling a little underutilized tonight. Aside from the people that want to donate him a car... Or ask him questions that he has no idea the answer to.
But I'll try.
He does the best he can, people. But there's a call coming in. 713-526-5738. The one thing I truly regret about this vacation that I'm going on is that it's not during a fun drive.
We don't regret it.
Oh, you could do it.
Oh, we certainly could do it, but we'd rather not.
I know. I've already checked out.
Don't check out. Not yet, anyway.
When do you actually... You go tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yeah. Leaving on a jet plane. Flying to Amsterdam first.
And don't get lost.
Don't
wander off.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave the airport. I know better. And then off Aer Lingus to Dublin. Then to the Hertz Rent-A-Car.
Are there direct flights to Ireland from here?
No. Actually, you can fly from here to another United States location and then get to Shannon, but you can. There are no direct flights from Houston to city in Ireland that I could find.
I haven't been on one of them. Most of them go through like Chicago or New Jersey or one of the East Coast cities.
Huh.
Or now, through London.
Okay, travel advice, because this will become a travel show if the computer stuff doesn't work out. Ireland is one of the few countries that offers pre-screening for flying to the United States. Now, if I'd have known that before, I booked this flight because it was the best price, best times, everything matched up. But I'm flying from Houston to Amsterdam and Amsterdam to Dublin. If I was flying from, say, coming back, I'm doing the same path. But if your flight goes from Dublin or Shannon Airport outside of Galway, directly to the United States, no matter where it is. You can pre-screen in Ireland, so you don't have to clear customs when you get here.
However, I have done that a couple times. You are then put into a pre-screening room, which is usually pretty small. A couple times I've been in there, no air conditioning, no refreshments, no anything. And it's kind of a miserable kind of experience. Couple times I've done it.
Okay, well,
but it's been like small room. You can't leave again because you've already officially crossed over. You get the, you know, you get the stamp, you get everything. So, you know, there's no turning back. So just don't do it if you have to use the restroom or, you know, if it's
going to
be a while.
That's good to know. Then I don't feel so bad about missing it. Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. Did you do that out of Shannon or did you do that?
No, both two or three times out of Dublin.
Okay. All right, Groove House. I see you got your headphones off, so now I'm going to call to you.
I can hear you.
I know, but you have to put them on to respond. Mm-hmm. So there's that lag between when you say Groove House.
Groove House has a 3-second lag, so the show has an 8-second lag.
It's a safety check.
Groove House has a 3-second lag. And
we don't go live with Groove House because we care. All right.
It's because his brain's going through those options like in Terminator of how he's going to reply. And he's an older model, so that makes him wild.
He's just T1. Oh. All right, Groove House.
Yes, Jay Lee.
Come with me if you want to live. Who's up? Sarah Connor?
Sarah Connor. All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Alex.
Alex, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't really have a question or a technical problem. I just wanted to say that I have not had very good luck with Seagate hard drives, like, at all. Matter of fact, every single Seagate hard drive I've ever come across has failed prematurely. And one time I actually went to get a semi-decent hard drive from Walmart, but then again, that's a mistake going to Walmart for any.
I buy all my high-end electronics.
But I go to buy this hard drive, and it was a... I think it was an external hard drive.
Right, and it had a Seagate inside.
Somebody had actually replaced it with broken Seagate hard drives.
So they bought the external drive, took the hard drive out, put their broken one in it, and sent it back.
And it was Seagate.
Yeah.
I mean, from my experience, Seagate is like kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. I guess they are pretty cheap, but...
How many other brand drives have you dealt with?
Or do you just keep going back to Seagate? No, I don't buy Seagate anymore because I've had so many.
But you've bought other brands. But you have bought other brands and had good luck with them.
Absolutely. Right. And Seagate was the one that I had the worst problems with.
All right.
That's all I want to say.
All right. Appreciate it. All right.
Just statistically speaking, you know, everyone's going to have different issues with the different drives. I had a horrible run of IBMs with, like, the desk stars. And then,
I was
going to
say,
you know,
the only ones I've ever had good experience with is this whole batch of IBM desk stars.
I had a quantum fireball, and that was then it did exactly what everybody said it was going to do.
Yeah, I've had both good and bad luck with Seagate. I've had some Seagate drives that lasted forever, and I had one or two that...
The one that I don't like right now is Maxtor. What's this all about?
Just a little. I can't see flicked. Like I have to keep looking around the monitor to make sure he's alive.
I'd rather have the monitor down, not see red alerts from Groove House, and have you denied.
Well, how about this? How about halfway? Can you see it now?
I don't care.
I don't care who he sees.
No, I don't care about the screen.
Oh, you don't care?
I don't care. Well, no, the Groove House is the one that came in here and shook things up.
Wait a minute.
We've got this.
I didn't realize Barrett was going to miss Flicked so much.
I didn't realize I was going to miss Flicked so much.
Separation in there?
Separation anxiety is strong in this one.
Wow.
Well, you know, we had the whole Flicked wasn't here last week.
Right.
And you put up this false barrier in front of us, man. What's going on?
You saw how despondent Barrett was before.
Yeah, you're true.
And then
you had this whole,
you know, he was all hopeful and brightening up when Flicked showed up this week. And,
very true.
And you threw a barrier up, like blinders. Like, all right.
I just raised the monitor in their side of the studio so that they could see messages.
So we have a monitor that lets us see who the caller is when we have calls. We've got one. We'll get to you in a second, Jerry. But also, we have there's a message part on the bottom of the screen where Groove House says, whatever you do, don't answer this call because they're crazy. Jerry's his name. No, I'm kidding, Jerry, not you. But we can't really see it because it's down low behind the clock and stuff.
And so, everybody's got a laptop, so their screen covers.
So Groove House came in here and lifted the monitor up.
Because well, actually, Dwight did it.
At really? First, we were going to put it on a milk crate, though. So it's awesome that we actually found out that it lifted before we went and put all these things under it.
Yeah, I just asked. Dwight actually got physical and picked the whole thing up. I mean, he's been working out, so like he just took the monitor. And just, like,
well, we can raise the monitor up, but maybe what we should aggro. Do is put Flicked It on a milk
pedestal.
Crate.
There we go. Can we get some phone books pedestal. In here?
Yes. That's it.
All right. Well, you guys are going to have to figure this out on your own next week.
Dwight
that monitor
smash.
Is staying up. that monitor is staying
Drunk
up.
Drunk Dwight smash. All right.
We'll just move Flicked It in there with y'all.
That would be... Let's change everything.
Yeah, let's just swap it
let's
all.
Let's teach out. Dwight how to do the board.
There you go.
That would be funny.
Dwight can do board.
I can do board.
I get bored. He does board, but it's more like...
this is pretty cool with this phone watch.
Wow, it's awesome.
That. Your wrist action is...
It high. Just shook in his hand and nothing happened.
You shake it twice and the camera...
And you're playing
up.
With your phone.
And it takes a really blurry picture.
You shake it twice and it goes to a questionable website? What? I don't get it.
The phone comes up when you do it. I mean, the camera. The camera
the phone
comes,
what
about,
comes up.
What about... Okay, you shook it like this. What happens when you shake it like that?
I don't want to shake it like that.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah.
All right, Groove House.
Yes.
What?
Did he just drop it?
No.
Oh.
Did he drop it like it's hot?
Yeah. You got to perfect that little shake.
He likes to whip his phone back
You
and
think
forth.
You'd be a little bit more proficient with the wrist action there, Dwight? I'm
getting better at it.
A all Harlem right. shake is too tough for you? You guys work it, Dwight.
You guys are just jealous.
Do you see the blurred lines? Groove House.
For those not in the studio, Dwight's twerking right now.
Oh, my. Somebody vine this.
All right.
Wow. Hey, just, I got it.
Pretty much, that was a drop the mic moment right there.
I'm going to go get my bear backpack. I'll be right back.
All right, Groove House, who do we have?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I have two questions. One is about Windows 8, and I'm thinking about buying a new computer, and one it has Windows 8 on it. But I hear so much about Windows 8 is had bugs, and it's not a good idea to buy it right now.
I don't know.
Those people are crazy.
I don't have a problem with it. I've got it. It works pretty cool for me.
It actually doesn't have a lot of bugs, but it's very different if you're used to Windows 7 or Windows XP. It's very different. Some people have a hard time with that difference.
Okay. And the last question is, on another computer, is it a good idea, or is it an easy way to reformat your hard drive? Well, it runs slow, and I was wondering if I could go ahead and reformat it and wipe everything out and start over again fresh.
Well, if you have the, do you have the recovery media that came with the computer that you made when you bought the computer? Let's just say you do successfully format your hard drive. What are you going to use to reinstall?
Just Windows XP.
You have the Windows XP disk?
Yeah, I have a Windows XP disk. Uh-huh.
All right, who makes your computer?
Dell.
All right, one thing I know about Dell and probably about most other computers as well is that the XP disk does not have all the drivers for all of your different hardware.
Okay.
So when you go to reinstall XP, you're still going to need to go back and get all the drivers for, like, your video card and for your sound card and so forth, which you can get from Dell. It's a rather – Dell should have provided a resource CD with the or a recovery disk. But the mere act of installing XP, if you follow the prompts, it will format the drive before it installs. You can tell it to wipe everything out and then install it.
Okay. All right. So is it – best for a layman to do it or just have it professionally done?
Well, if you can find, I mean, there are some hoops you might have to jump through to do it on your own. I mean, it can be done and it can be done for free, but, you know, you have to understand the things you're going to be up against. So it just depends on whether or not you want to invest that time. But I wouldn't pay somebody to do it necessarily, because by the time you got somebody, you know, hauled the computer down there, had them do it, install all that, and give it back to you, you're got a lot of money into it, and you might as well consider putting that towards a new PC.
Yeah.
You're talking about like at least like $100 or so just to have them, you know, put it up on the bench and go after it, and then depending on what else you need. Wow. If they have to back it all up and then reinstall what I, you know, it just depends. I don't know how much they get for this kind of thing, but do you have data on the computer that you care about that you can't live without, like files or pictures or music or any of that?
Well, yes, I have pictures on there, but you know, I can put those on a flash drive.
Well, as long as you can back up and you're not going to lose that stuff, then you could try reinstalling the operating system and see how far you get. But but you know, I know from experience that if you take the computer and you boot it up from the XP CD, you'll be taken through an option where you can wipe the drive and reinstall XP, but you may not have the video drivers that give you the proper resolution on your screen. You may not have sound. You may not have network access, because those are secondary drivers you have to download from the Dell site. And the big gotcha there is that if one of the drivers that doesn't install is your network driver, you have to go and download that driver on another computer and then bring it over to this computer. So when you bought the computer, there was probably an option to make a set of recovery disks, and that's understandable. A lot of people don't make those disks, but if you have those recovery disks, then you can they'll basically build your computer right back to the way it was when you bought it new. All the drivers, all the pre-installed software, everything. XP doesn't have all the drivers that you're going to, may or may not have all the drivers you're going to need. Probably won't.
All right. Well, let me run the problem by you, and maybe I'm going down the wrong avenue. Anyway, it's just my computer takes a long time to boot up. 5-6 minutes maybe for it to finish booting up, and I would be able to use any other programs.
Well, one of the things you could start by, I mean, obviously you have a computer that's running XP, so the computer's at least 10 or more years old, probably, or 8 to 10 years old, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, and you've never reloaded the operating system, so you could try just scanning it for possible spyware infections and things like that, see if you can clean it up and give it a little tune-up. So that might be worth your time to get some performance there. And you also, there are some recommended steps you can take to try to enhance the performance of the computer. You can delete temporary files, uninstall unwanted programs, that sort of thing.
I did that, but I haven't scanned for spyware. I'm not even sure the program to scan for.
Well, we list a couple of free programs on our website at geekradio.com under the spywares link. There's a program called Malware Bytes. You'd be surprised malware and spyware is a pretty common problem with computers. People that use their computer to get on the internet and surf the web can find themselves infected with spyware. And maybe the only symptom is that your computer's just running really slow, or, you know, the other symptoms include pop-ups and so forth. So scanning for that kind of stuff is very, I recommend it. It's one of the biggest problems affecting computer users. So you might try that and see if you can,
What's your website again?
Geekradio.com.
Geekradio.com.
Yeah. Okay. There's a link there. It says spywares, and I write what I call the J. Lee patented spyware removal system. It's got some suggestions on some software you can try.
Okay.
Might help things out. I've seen dramatic increases in computer performance after cleaning off spyware.
Okay.
All right.
Good. I'm looking at it right now. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, Groove House.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Paul.
Paul, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Yes, sir. I've got Windows 7 computer here, and it's maybe not even a year old. And it's every time I start the computer up, it says required system software not installed. Microsoft.NET Framework version 2.0 is required to continue. And it says it's available for free download, but I've already downloaded it and installed it, and it still pops up every time I turn the computer on.
Every time
you turn to get that off.
Every time you turn on the computer, you're getting a message about Microsoft.NET Framework is not installed.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst errors that I mean, it's not like a problem, but it's like irritating problem because .NET...
Yeah, everything still works fine, but I just wanted to figure out how to get that off of there.
I have, you know, you could take the exact error message and try some Google searches on it. I've struggled with it myself because there's so many versions of the .NET framework.
Does it say what version is giving you the problem?
It's saying 2.0.
You could try going to go look for the .NET framework 2.0 or even the 4, you know, I think it's a
that's old, yeah, 2.0 is old.
Yeah, there's newer versions, but I've seen it where, like, you install the newer version and it still thinks it's got the older version and it still gives you the error. So one of the ways that I've been able to overcome it is to go into the add remove programs and show updates and remove the .NET framework installs from the computer altogether, everything that says .NET framework or .NET, and just remove it.
And then reinstall.
And then go and then find the latest version and reinstall it. I don't even know what it's for anymore.
So just anything that says .NET, just uninstall it?
If it says .NET framework, uninstall it.
Yeah. So it says frameworks 4 on some of them.
Now, frameworks is a different...
features.
Yeah. I think version 4 might be one of the more current versions of it. But see, you've got multiple...
One of them says profile, one of them says extended. Just then uninstall both of them?
That's what I would do, yeah. Not while you're on the air, but, you know, at your leisure. And then go and look for the latest version of .NET framework and install that. All right?
Oh, okay.
That might help out. Otherwise, if you continue to get that error... Do a Google search on the exact error message. You'll find some discussion forums where people talk about how to attack that problem.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. We're going to wrap things up here. I'm going to have...
Sounds like a plan. How early do you have to get up? Is it
No. My flight's in the afternoon.
So you're not going to be at the Geek Gathering?
I'm not going to be at the Geek Gathering.
Did you RSVP us?
He did. As a matter of
fact. Whoa!
He did.
Why?
Well, in order to God, you people to you create the event, which is ridiculous because you create the event, and as the page for Technology Bytes on Facebook, I can't invite anybody
unless you're going.
Unless. I can invite as a person, as my personal page, but I have to join the event first and then issue the invites. So I guess technically what I should have done is issued the invites and then changed my status to not
What
going.
If that made the page go away?
It wouldn't.
Actually,
because it's created by Technology Bytes.
You should change it to maybe.
Mm.
Maybe.
Well, you don't know that I won't be there because, you know, there's still every opportunity for all kinds of things to go wrong.
Right.
Correct. And that's going to keep me awake tonight.
But that's tomorrow, so you could probably always like catch the next day.
Well, if everything... Yeah, well, we'll see. If it falls to bits...
Don't want to get in the way of the cruise missiles.
Weather's good, right? Going out there, everything's good in terms of weather. You don't have to worry about weather.
It's a little chilly, and it's Ireland.
No, in terms of flying.
Oh, in terms of flying, I don't think there's any tropical disturbances or anything like that I got to worry about. You actually go up north, you go across... I mean, polar bears, maybe. I don't know. Salmon. All right. Well, you've been listening to Technology Bytes here on KPFT and wherever else you might be listening. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Roofhouse.
We'll be back next Wednesday night for more Technology Bytes. Stick around for Michio Kaku and...
Or your local programming.
Or your local programming.
Or your local programming.
Or your local programming. Your local programming.
Michio Kaku's local.
KPFT is supported in part by the West University Baha'i Community. A moment for reflection. Strive that your actions, day by day, may be beautiful prayers. turn towards God, and seek always to do that which is right and noble. For more information, or to find your local community, visit www.bahai.us, B-A-H-A-I.us, or call 1-800-22-UNITE. You're tuned in to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Mama made me mash my M&M. Mama made me...
T-Bone, why is that car still on the front lawn?
Wanda, I told you last night, my catfish ain't my keys.
Damn it, T-Bone, I told you to call KPFT at 1-855-573-8227. That's 1-855-KPFT-CAR, and they'll come pick it up. And we're having catfish for lunch.
But I love my car, and I love my catfish.
Better not be as much as you love me.
Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 1-855-573-8227, and donate your unwanted car, truck, RV, or motorcycle to KPFT. We'll pick it up. Your tax-deductible donation entitles you to KPFT membership, hair with luster, and teeth. Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 1-855-573-8227. Details at kpft.org. Hair with luster and teeth may not be available.
And despite that, you're still listening to 90.1 KPFT Houston. Next up, Explorations with Michio Kaku.